Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show here on AFR. Thanks for listening. Joining me to co-host today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Fred is news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Hey, make sure you get your daily news briefing from OneNewsNow.com. We send it out Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, once a day.
And so if I sign up for it, what do I get?
You get a summary of the major news stories of the day and stories from our group of reporters from a Christian perspective. All you need to know about what's going on in your world, but also of issues of importance, particular importance to Christians.
How do I sign up for this once a weekday news briefing?
Go to onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. Go up to the right-hand corner, and you'll see a little button you can press to sign up for the daily and doesn't cost you a thing, folks. It's free. Not too much free these days, but that is free to you. We will not pester you all day. We will not send extra emails to you all day. We'll simply send you that one summary a day, and you'll get all the information you need to keep yourself informed.
So, in the sense, we're like the Democrat Party. It's free stuff. Right? Free stuff for everybody right there, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, boss.
Okay. Somebody has to pay for it.
That's right.
It is part of the ministry of American Family Association, Family Radio.
That's right.
All right. So much to talk about. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Fred, get us started.
Boeing, the airline maker, I think it's the biggest in the world. Airbus might debate that, but Boeing out there in Seattle, been making airplanes for years and years and years, and they're regarded as, you know, the best airplanes in the world. And their 737 has been probably the best seller in the world. Their newest version, the Boeing 737 MAX 8, has 5,000 orders on the books right now. It's that popular. But it has run into some major, major problems. There have been now two crashes, the latest one just yesterday. This was a Ethiopian airline, Boeing 737 MAX 8, that was taking off from their home base in Addis Ababa Airport, and 6 or 7 minutes after takeoff, it crashed. Sadly, everybody on board was killed, including 8 Americans. This airplane had only been flown 1,200 hours. They just took possession of it in November. Now, besides the tragedy, obviously, that's there, what they're cross-checking what happened yesterday with this airplane with a Lion Air, which is an Indonesian-based airline, same type of airplane, a Boeing 737 MAX 8, crashed back in October. Everyone died. What we're hearing initially is that the same thing happened to these in both airplanes shortly after takeoff. They took a nosedive, and they haven't been able to explain what happened. So it's brand new airplanes in both cases. They take off, and the nose takes a dive. The pilots cannot control it. It crashes, and everyone on board. What ought to be of interest to American travelers is that several American airlines, U.S.-based airlines, have these airplanes as well. China this morning, various airlines inside China, they have about 100 of them, grounded all of those airplanes this morning. Indonesia has grounded its whole fleet of 737s. Cayman Islands has got a couple of them. They've grounded them. So there is real concern this morning. There is something that has gone wrong, perhaps with the software system, because these airplanes today are highly computerized.
Right.
I mean, there's really no manual control of the flight surfaces. It's all done by computers today. So somewhere in there, the pilots weren't reporting fires. They weren't reporting pieces of the airplane coming off. It had to do with the controls and what the data that they were getting in front of them. So something is going on related to the computers of these particular very sophisticated aircraft.
Or, there is something that can go wrong, because some of them have been flying.
That's right.
Successfully, but yeah. there's some sort of susceptibility that on occasion it is a quick and unavoidable crash, and of course it's just brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, hardly anyone survives these things.
Yeah.
So now, has the U.S. fleet been grounded?
No, at least as of this moment.
Yeah.
In the last few minutes I was checking, I haven't heard of any of the major airlines in this country having grounded them. And the grounding may only take place for a day. They're just going to check these things out and see what's going on. But it is troubling that in both cases, it seems to be the same scenario.
Yeah.
An uncontrollable nosedive shortly after. And again, they're brand new airplanes. These are very sophisticated versions of the 737. So very concerning.
Mm. Yes, indeed. See what happens there. Next story.
Well, we have a new lawsuit this morning for the lawyer for Nick Sandman. I think most of our listeners probably...
How do you spell his last name?
S-A-N-D-M-A-N-N.
Sandman.
Sandman, yeah.
Okay, I thought you said salmon.
No, Sandman.
Okay, Sandman.
You thought he said salmon or salmon?
That's
that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty
good.
For
Monday morning.
Probably. Probably need to stop right there.
Yeah, well, let's move along.
I could
absolutely.
I could get going, almonds.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah.
But now, Nicholas Sandman, just in case you've forgotten who this, he's the young man, Covington High School there in Kentucky.
Right.
Whose picture was plastered over.
The MAGA hat.
Yes, the MAGA hat. And everybody blamed him for basically.
Poor little Indian man. Riot.
Yes.
Poor little Indian man, you know, couldn't help himself, had to go up and couldn't get around the group of boys, you know, there at the Lincoln Memorial.
They surrounded him. Yeah.
They surrounded this poor little Indian man, and he couldn't go anywhere.
Yes.
That was the narrative, right,
from
the get-go, from the picture, and this little white kid is,
villain.
The villain, got his snide... smirk on his face.
Yeah. Know? Plus that, he was taunting a black Hebrew group across the street.
Yes. Right. Oh, the white boys were?
Yeah.
The little white Christian boys from the school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, as it turned out, the video showed it was the complete opposite of what we just described.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Indian man was 64 years old. He's a
professional. Phillips, was that his last name? What was his name?
Yeah. For some Nathan Phillips, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think that's it. I think it's
Anyway, he's a professional protester. He goes around, you know, he's a big into, I guess, Native American rights or whatever he wants to say. But the point is, with this story, as we all know here, he sought out this group of teenage boys who were waiting on their school bus to pick them up. They're waiting around, they're goofing off. This man thought, I'm going to go up to them, play my drum, do my chants, and hopefully one of them will hit me. You know, that if I can get one of these little white boys to hit me with the MAGA hat on, then I got a movie, I got a book deal, I'm on Oprah, I'm on Don Lemon, I am a celebrity, and I got it made. So I'm going to go up there and see if I can't provoke them. And that's what he did. He went up with his drum. Is that what he had?
Yeah, it was some kind of little
sound drum, and got right in the face. He walked up and got right in the face of this little 15-year-old kid.
Right.
Who all he knew to do, the kid knew, what is this guy doing this for? All he knew to do was smile, which turned into the smirk.
He said he didn't know what to do.
No, Sandman.
Yeah,
yeah, didn't know what to do, and so you have this 64-year-old man trying to provoke this 15-year-old boy, and
well, it looks like he's trying to provoke him. That's what it looked like. Well, we don't know that's what he was trying to do.
The story was, with the picture, was that these white Christian school kids were harassing this poor little Indian man.
No, I'm saying we don't.
And it was actually the opposite.
Yeah, we don't know if Nathan Phillips was trying to provoke. He claims he was praying for them and trying to bring peace.
I'm saying what I saw.
Yes, okay.
What Tim Wildman saw was this Indian man walking up to these kids.
Yeah.
And if you're banging a drum within a foot of somebody's face, guess what?
I understand.
You're trying to provoke them.
Okay.
That, I don't know.
I just don't want us to get sued for $250 million.
So, my wife, Allison, said she didn't see how that young kid was so restrained.
Yeah,
composed.
Because a lot of people, you get up in their personal space and you're banging a drum within a foot of their face, they're going to push you.
That's close to assault. I mean, yeah. I don't know what.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. So.
But the story for the first day or two from the mainstream media was, as you described it initially, they wanted the world to believe that this kid with the MAGA hat on was causing all kinds of problems.
Indian man being oppressed by the white kid again.
Yeah.
That was the story.
And the other element of the story was these kids from the Covington High School in Kentucky were there for the March for Life in Washington. So that was another element
Strike
of the story.
Strike two.
So that was the initial story. And they made Nicholas Sandman look like a racist kid. He was evil. He was starting trouble. Well, we all know now all of that was not true. So what's happening now is that Nick Sandman and his family have gotten themselves a lawyer. His name is Lynn Wood. And last week they announced they were suing the Washington Post. Today they are suing CNN for $250 million. Cut number three. Here's Lynn Wood.
Look at the deterioration in the media in the last several years. It is horribly unhealthy. There's nothing valuable to our public discourse for people to just simply go out and tell rumors, lies, to be able to use the media and the First Amendment to, in effect, advance his or her or some corporation's own agendas. That's what happened to Nicholas. There's a lot of agendas at work. There's no objectivity. There's no fairness. It's just that, like they've become an extension of political parties.
All right, so that is the lawyer for Nick Sandman and his family. His name is Lynn Wood. He said a lot of interesting things there. He broadened this out beyond this particular case.
Accurately, I think, too.
And he did. We're in territory that I cannot remember in my 40-plus years of journalism right now. There have always been liberals in the media. Okay, I mean, going back, Pew Research has chronicled this for years and years and years. And in this country, most of the media said they favor the Democratic Party. But through the years, there's been a discipline. If you're a news journalist, now there's a difference between opinion pieces and the news. But if you're a news journalist, you applied some discipline so you didn't show your bias in the story, or you did your best, with the exception of the New York Times, maybe. But now it doesn't seem to matter anymore. When you take CNN, for example, and this is the latest lawsuit from the Sandman family, $250 million, almost every day, if not every day, it seems to be the goal, the purpose, the focus of CNN to make Donald Trump look bad. If he says something, it's wrong. If he doesn't say something, that's wrong too. Whatever he does is bad. Whatever he doesn't do is bad.
Whoever's associated with him in any way. Part of the evil empire.
Yeah. Right.
They'll connect, Paul Manafort, who used to work with the Trump campaign, went to jail last week for stuff that he did long before his association with Donald Trump. But when I was looking at the headlines at CNN, and they happen to be up in the gym where I go on Saturday morning, they connect Donald Trump to it all the time.
Right.
Trump associate.
But what he's going to jail for had nothing to do with his association with Donald Trump. That's just one example. But on and on. It is Trump derangement syndrome. And the journalists, the media, for the most part, the secular media, it's infected them like some kind of virus. They just hate this man.
Well, a good example, and I don't know if you were going to cover this story here this hour or not, but Donald Trump signed some Bibles, right?
Yeah.
He went down to Alabama and
Friday,
where they had the tornado devastating was Beauregard, Alabama. 23 people died. So anyway, so some young people came up and handed a Bible to President Trump to sign. Yeah. Now, I'll just say, personally, and I've been asked on occasion, somebody said, would you sign my Bible, wanted my autograph. I said, well, I don't sign the Bible, okay? That's just my own personal thing. But the media jumped on that. President Trump signed Bible. Is this, you know, an insult? Is this heresy? That guy, they went out and asked pastors. But President Obama signed Bibles.
Yes.
And nobody ever said anything in the media critical of him, because it's not what you do, it's who's doing it.
Well, and for the most of these liberal media folks, they don't believe in the Bible.
They don't care about the Bible anyway.
They don't care about the Bible. What do they care whether President Trump signs a book that's bogus,
right,
or not? Otherwise, they would criticize the Bible. Oh, it's only when President Trump signs it they go, is this heresy?
Right. Let's find out. Yeah. Because he could get in trouble with his base.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing that you know the media does all the time.
Yeah, he was at, I actually have signed a Bible.
I'm just saying it's a personal.
Yeah, this thing. Person, a couple times, people have said, you know, I've got these people who signed up in the front of the Bible, just signed your signatures. So I didn't claim to author any of the books.
Right. That would have been heresy.
Yes, and forgery.
Yeah.
And probably right. Probably some other crimes there too. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I hope Lynn Wood, the attorney for Nick Sandman, wins wins all that money he wants, if you know, that he's suing CNN for after he sued the Washington Post. If you want to watch this show, go to Facebook and YouTube. Facebook and or YouTube, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch our show there. We're also putting the stories that we're talking about on there. And you can interact with other folks who listen to this network and this show, American Family Radio. The show is Today's Issues. And just an update, Walker and his wife Lexi have no twins yet. But it could be any hour of any day. Walker will have his third son. He's already got one, Luke, you know.
Right.
Luke's 20 months, and so twins do.
This will be number two and number three.
Twins do anytime. We'll break in with news
right,
if we need to. What did you say?
Is it son number two and number three?
Yeah, all in one one helping, as they say. All right, Fred, what else you got?
And after they're born, we'll be praying for Walker.
Exactly, and Lexi.
And Lexi, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
sleepless night start for Walker.
Walker probably turn into Betty White. You know, what I'm talking about?
I know the actress.
It's a Snickers commercial. You know when they?
Oh yes.
Huh?
Hangry.
When somebody's hangry and they have a bad attitude or something, and there's some celebrity, and a lot of times it's Betty White.
It'd be hard to imagine Walker having a bad attitude, but if it's going to happen, I can see twins doing it.
Right. No sleep?
No sleep,
The no sleep part of it, I think you're talking about. And you clean one diaper and you go, woo, sit down and watch TV for 30 minutes. No, you can't, because guess what?
It seems
there's
to me
diaper the, number two.
The worst part about it would be, I guess this is the no sleep. At night, one wakes up, gets fed, then that wakes the other one up. And then they just...
Quit waking up your brother. You're 3 months old? What's wrong with you? All right.
I hope Walker's listening to this.
Hey, we're all hamming it up like we don't like this ain't going to affect us. We've already been
Well, it's not going to affect me, too.
I know. We've already been there. We've already been there and done that.
You and Allison have to do some babysitting.
It might be some in a way.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how that goes. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, let's move on. Let's go down to Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas.
Luckenbach or Austin?
Yeah, that's the one little place the one little place in Texas where there's some liberals.
For the time being.
For the time being. Well, they've had something going on down there, and in fact, I think it's still going on. It's called South by Southwest. And what it is for folks, for the most part, it's a gathering of liberals.
I thought it was a grill. It's not?
No.
Best tacos in Texas.
I think they're all vegetarians because they wouldn't kill any beef. To-
Now, you talk about blasphemy. A Texan vegetarian? That right
now
there.
That's true.
That's wrong.
Yes.
Them's fighting words right there. Well, anyway, this event started on the weekend, South by Southwest in Austin, and the star of the event was
New Yorker
AOC.
Yep.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Person, not a condition.
Anyway, why don't we have a listen, basically, you know.
Give me some AOC. I need some AOC.
Here's your Monday dose of AOC.
You've taken medication for AOC. Now, this is going to be a montage of things she said at South by Southwest, or is this? She said a number of things.
She said we can only hit one. Okay. All right. Here we go. Cut number four.
Just as there's all of this fear-mongering that government is going to take over every corporation and government is going to take over every business or every form of production, we should be scared right now because corporations have taken over our government. It's just as much a transformation about bringing democracy to the workplace so that we have a say and that we don't check all of our rights at the door every time we cross the threshold into our workplace. Because at the end of the day, as workers and as people of society, we're the ones creating wealth, not a corporate CEO. It's not a CEO that's actually creating $4 billion a year. It is the millions of workers in this country that's creating billions of dollars of economic productivity a year.
Spoken like a true communist.
That... I got to be careful. I don't want to sin right here,
right?
Because I want to call her a name.
And remember, whatever you say is being recorded.
Yes, it is. So. I understand what she's trying to get at, but she's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She's just wrong. These millions of workers, she's saying, they didn't just walk out their door and go down the street to the park and start producing $4 billion, I'm using her numbers, and start producing $4 billion worth of goods and services. A corporation risked their money to create the corporation, and they have to play by a lot of government rules already. They're the ones with the ideas. They made the investments in equipment and those kind of things. They buy the products, and the workers come in and make the products. And this is basic economics 101. So you can't act as though the corporation is meaningless here. There are people who risked their money to create the corporation. They get their dividends. They make profits so they can reinvest it and maybe expand another business. Now, the workers play an important role, and they shouldn't be abused.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand that, but that's just economic ignorance.
But it's what's being taught
class warfare
in our universities.
Right.
And what's not being taught in our universities are the results of what she advocates.
That's President Obama said that. Remember, he said, you didn't create that.
Right.
Remember, he was talking to the businesses. You didn't create that.
Mm.
Right. Well, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
It's a partnership.
Yeah, these people have a problem, though, these socialists / communists, they have a problem with, she cited CEO right there. They have a problem with people at the top of the company making a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
whereas the average worker out there for the company should be making more. That's what she's going at. That sounds like, what is it, proletariat? What is that?
Bourgeoisie and the proletariat.
Yeah.
Those are
It sounds like something out of Marx, terms. Where, you know, the workers of the world arise. That's what it sounds like.
She's a socialist. It's going to be Marxist, mm-hmm. Ideology is going to infiltrate.
That's why she didn't want Amazon building
celebrated that.
Yeah.
A plant in her, in New York,
in her
when they were going to bring thousands of jobs.
25,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Kiss them goodbye.
Right.
Yeah, because some reason she didn't like the way Amazon treated their employees or something like that. Alexandria...
Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez.
If you have AOC, please see your doctor.
We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
A On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
Obviously, a resurrection would have been an impact event to the apostles. They would have remembered everything Jesus said and did to the day they died, and it turned their complete worldview upside down.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook. In a move most Christians probably never expected to see, Walmart has created and is promoting a Facebook video ad that normalizes homosexual relationships, and they need to hear from you. The ad is part of a campaign released on Valentine's Day called Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart. Episode 2 features Pat and Andy, two homosexual men on a blind date as they meet at the store and shop together and discover whether or not they're compatible. Please sign the American Family Association petition to Walmart asking them to remove this pro-homosexual video and remain neutral on controversial issues. It's clear that Walmart is on the path to elevating homosexual relationships to the same level as the male-female model of marriage. Sam Walton must be turning over in his grave. Let Walmart hear from their Christian customers. We'll present the petition at corporate headquarters March 20th. Please sign our Walmart petition today at afa.net. That's afa.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A Catholic boy and a lesson about religion. More next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. William McLeod showed up at Valley View Elementary School in Utah the other day with an ash cross on his forehead. William is a Catholic, and like many of his faith, he observed Ash Wednesday, the start of the Lenten season. His classmates were curious. Most of the boys and girls are Mormon, and he shared about his religious beliefs. About that time, William's teacher approached and told him he would need to remove the ash from his forehead.
She gave me a disinfection wipe and made me wipe it off, and I tried to tell her two times, and she told me two times to wipe it off in front of my friends in the corner.
When school leaders got wind of what happened, they were horrified and immediately reached out to William's family. The teacher explained she was unaware of the Catholic tradition. She wrote a letter of apology to the boy, which the family has accepted. Another Christian tradition. Forgiveness. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the name of this show here on AFR. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday morning. Spring. Just around the corner, right? Anyway, yesterday was a beautiful...
It was.
A beautiful weather day where we live.
Yep. Sit outside, enjoy the day.
Here in Tupelo, Mississippi, I guess it was 70.
Mm-hmm.
70 and sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Just gave you a little taste of spring.
Take it.
It'll be here before you know it for most of the country. Where do they not have spring in this country?
In this...
When do they have spring in Maine? In August?
I don't know. They get it.
They get spring in May. But It's later. It's later than most of the country because you'll have some parts of New England that have, you know, a lot of snow, sometimes into May.
Yeah.
And,
Do you see out there in California, June, in the Sierra Mountains, they have 500 inches of snow?
500?
Look it up.
Where is this?
The Sierra Mountains. Is it Nevada or California? Are they on, or is it both?
They've had a lot of snow. Yeah, they have.
500 inches of snow, and it's piled up on the side of the road. I'm not making this up. Are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'll give you a second here to tell me.
Let it snow. Sierra ski resorts get up to 9 feet of snow from recent storms. This says 91 inches, 95 inches, 98. Let's see.
Well, if you pile that up on the side of the road.
How much snow in Tahoe this season? 41 feet at one resort.
All right, do 41 feet divided by 12. What is that
or
right
times
there?
12.
41 times 12.
I mean, 41 times 12.
All right, I'm going to do that.
That's,
I'm
going to do it close to a 500.
That 41 is times
492?
12. 492. It's only 492, Tim.
Okay, well, I apologize for my 8-inch error there. It was non-intentional.
500 inches. I'm sorry.
That means just snowing every day, all day.
Well, right? That's what they were saying. North Star was a storm, came with 95 inches. Heavenly Fall with 91 inches, then 88 inches, one storm after another.
Can you imagine ski resorts having to shut down because they get too much snow?
41 feet. How do you?
Yeah.
You could. Your house could get would be
so
buried.
You're on a ski lift and your feet are scraping the snow as you go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, what's dangerous is when it starts to melt.
Yeah, all that water.
Oof. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So there you go. 500. When I read that too, I was like you. I was like.
500 inches. You sure?
500 inches of snow. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're gonna get back to the news in just a minute, but first of all, we're gonna talk to Lynn Ingram. Lynn's with us. He's from Abilene, TX. How you doing, Lynn?
Hey, we're doing great, Tim. How are you guys this day?
How's the weather in Abilene today?
Totally beautiful.
Yeah?
You know, I don't know, it's probably 50 degrees here, but it's just beautiful.
We're sunshine.
We're getting a sort of change of the seasons,
yeah.
As you were talking about a while ago, and preparing for that is just gorgeous. Our cows are calving, which that's always good. It's just beautiful in Texas.
You said your what is what?
Cows.
Our cows are beginning to calve, drop their calves.
Calve.
What's oh, calves? Oh.
Babies.
Oh, babies.
Just kidding. Just kidding, Lynn.
Well.
Calving.
Calving.
Baby moo cows.
Somewhere.
Calving, Lynn. Calving. Your cows are calving.
Calving.
I don't know.
Okay. Lynn, you're going to have to forgive these guys from the Northeast. I've never been far.
Well, I'm from Mississippi, but somewhere between here, maybe over Arkansas, the word changes between me and you,
calving.
I say calf.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, hey, I understand what you're saying now. That was my main point. I just wanted to understand what you're saying. And y'all call a pond a tank out there, don't you?
That's right.
Have I got that right? Yeah. I learned that much, at least. I went out to visit my friend David Barton 4 or 5 years ago, and he took me out to Jacksonville, outside of Jacksonville. Is it Jacksonville?
There is a Jacksonville in southeast Texas, yes.
Well, this was a... Anyway, this was west of Fort Worth, about 50 miles. I don't know. I've forgotten the name of the little town. Anyway, David has a place out there where, you know, if the law ever comes looking for you, they'll never find you out there. That's
okay.
That's what I told him. It was a place out. It's sort of west central Texas. Anyway, I told him we went out there, and he said, hey, yeah, we got to go take the horses down, let them get a drink at the tank. And I was like, get a drink at the tank? What are you talking about? And he said, I said, you mean that pond down there? And he goes, yeah, it's not called a pond here, Tim. It's called a tank. So anyway, I learned that Texas expression there.
But I think we can all agree, can't we, Lynn, that I think people in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, bacon is good, right?
Well, unanimous.
We'll start with what we agree on.
I think that's unanimous amongst
Thank
us
you
all.
For finding some common ground.
Yes, common ground. That's what I'm all about.
All right. Redeem Clean, folks, is the laundry detergent that we've been telling you about that Lynn and his partner Jim Duncan, they created. They've been in the laundry business for over 4 decades. And they are listeners to AFR and supporters of our ministry, and they wanted to do something to help us. And they came to us and said, "Let us we want to create this product and have people buy it who listen to AFR, and it supports your ministry. So every time you buy it, a portion of the proceeds goes to support AFA and AFR. So that's what they've done. If you want to read about it, if you want to buy some of the product and check it out for yourself, go to afastore.net. Just simply go there and give it a try. That doesn't hurt to give it a try, folks. Afastore.net, afastore.net. Love the name. that Lynn and Jim came up with, Redeem Clean. Why'd y'all name it that anyway?
That was Jim's wife, Cherry's idea, and we loved it. We heard it one time, and that was it. Looking at names, and we just said, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
That's
Redeem Clean. Redeemed, as in redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Also, redeeming the culture, right, in America.
It.
So it's got multiple meanings.
Thank you, Tim.
That's why I'm here, Lynn. That and a tank and pond and all that good stuff. That's the reason I'm here. All right, all right. Let's talk about the question for the week here. What's the question for the week?
Well, we had one about, you know, we're all using it, and the product is great, and you can see the work we put into it. But the way we label it, it only allows us to market it. You know, we're missing a tremendous opportunity with the retail market. And the question is, why'd you do it that way? Well, Jim and I do not wish to be in the detergent business in the American retail market. We spent several years and a lot of money putting this together to find a way to use what we know best to produce something that could serve the ministry of you, of the Lord. And we want to do that, not just any ministry, but through the AFA family of ministries. What you and your staff are doing is without question one of the greatest blessings to the Christian community in America. And America needs more of what you can give. And we just want to help you guys reach more people and educate them more in what is going on in our culture. That's the bottom line. No more, no less, Tim.
Amen. Well, greatly, well put. And folks, if I would encourage you, if you hear Lynn's heart and you want to help us out and have some great laundry detergent too, and other products too as well there, go to afastore.net and check it out, afastore.net, afastore.net. We got some other
Tim,
stuff. Go ahead, Lynn. Yeah.
Can I ask you one thing?
Please.
I know you're leaving for your spiritual heritage tour to the Holy Land
Pretty
soon. There's a family from Abilene coming. Please do not hold our friendship against them.
Okay. I won't judge their character.
Yeah,
by whether they hang out with you or not,
okay?
I won't do that. It was Jacksboro. A little town called Jacksboro, Texas, that I was looking for.
Jacksboro, I know where that is.
That's where
but
we
the
were.
The family from Abilene, he is a pastor. He went many years ago. He's taking his wife and his son to see Israel, and his son's
yes.
a pastor also. They cannot wait. They have looked for this for months and months and months.
So no pressure on me, right?
So, not at all.
Okay.
Or Allison either.
And Allison, my wife. Yeah, we're leaving Wednesday. We're leaving Thursday evening with our group.
Yes.
Going to Israel for our annual trip there. And so we covered everybody's prayers. We'll be over there 9 days, and we're going to have a wonderful trip with brothers and sisters.
Tim,
from all
and
over
that's
the country.
Part in the way I view things from my view. That's part of your entire ministry. The
right.
comprehensive ministry is that putting feet on the ground.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
It's awesome. That's all I can tell
Amen.
You. Thank y'all for
Thank you, brother.
Doing,
Appreciate it. Thank you,
y'all.
Man. Take care.
Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Man.
Go eat some bacon, brother.
Okay. Hey, you know they have chocolate covered bacon at the state fair, and may have it in a lot of state fairs. I just saw it.
I don't know why I'm not surprised.
In Iowa, they do, of course.
Chocolate covered bacon.
Yeah.
Now that's one of those kind of weird things that I wouldn't mind trying that.
Chocolate.
Yeah,
chocolate covered.
It does
bacon.
Sound it's a
now, like the deep fried Twinkies and stuff.
It's a combo but chocolate covered bacon. I'd give it a whirl.
I would.
Yeah,
sounds like an episode of Chopped.
Yeah,
Food Network.
I think they put
those weird ingredients in a basket and tell them they got to come
I've
up.
I've never seen
something.
This show yet. What do they do there, Fred?
Well, they have four. They start off with four contestants,
uh-huh.
and each of them get a basket, and they come up with the weirdest stuff. That they have to put together into something that's edible.
So at random, they throw ingredients on pieces of paper into a basket?
They may throw a cake and bacon together. And
is that what that show is, Chopped?
Chopped, yeah.
I've seen it come up when I'm scrolling through. I thought it was something about motorcycles, honestly.
No.
So I thought, nah.
And so they keep eliminating down to the person who wins, and they win $10,000.
That sounds interesting.
It is. It's fascinating what these people – they're very good, a lot of these people that come in as contestants. So they're able to put something good together. But they have to do it in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes. That's all you got. Come up with something good with these ingredients.
All right. You're making me hungry. Let's move on to the – There's some discouraging news.
I need to stay. We're having a good time with AOC here.
Yes.
She was down in Austin this weekend at this South by Southwest. She took a question from the audience. Aren't you worried about all the what's happening with automated labor and other robots taking people's jobs? Right. In response to a question about the threat of automated labor, the firebrand liberal said workers should be excited about having their jobs automated. Now I'm going to quote you what she had to say about people losing their jobs to robots being automated, okay? We should be, quote, we should be excited about automation because what it could potentially mean is more time educating ourselves, more time creating art, more time investing in and investigating the sciences, more time focused on invention, more time going to space. Space cadet. No. More time enjoying the world that we live in.
Were you editorializing right then?
Yeah, that was a little quote there.
Came out. Couldn't be helped.
No. Now, connect that to what she said when she introduced the Green New Deal. Remember, she was asked, what about people? And she said, well, even pay people who don't want to work.
Yes.
So what she's saying is, don't worry about losing your job to a robot. That's going to give you more time for all this other stuff.
Because the federal government will be paying you a living wage to do nothing.
Do nothing. Go travel the world, and we'll pay you.
Why didn't I think of that?
Oh, I know.
Why didn't I think? You mean I don't have to work?
No. Let a robot take over your job, and we'll still pay you, and that just
she's not living in the real world, and that's her problem. And if the Democratic Party continues to embrace her and her ilk, that will become their problem. The only thing wrong with that is that a country like Venezuela, you don't embrace the real world. Sometimes it takes 5 years to figure it out, and you suffer while real life becomes a brutal teacher. Because that what she's saying makes absolutely no sense.
No.
I mean, that is not real. That's not the real world. When you're 35 years old, it doesn't matter if your job is gone because you can invest more time in learning the arts and then the sciences and traveling. How with what? With what money are you going to do that?
You guys.
With your money, Ed.
I guess.
Okay, you guys are dissing on AOC here. Mm-hmm. She's a rock star, man.
She is a rock star.
And she is drawing big crowds and big audiences, and she's being heard. She's being the voice of the people. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I do.
And so.
And a lot of these young people who are enamored with her are going to vote in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, she can't run. Elections. She's too young to run. In all seriousness, what is the danger of what she's promoting? And should it be accepted by a majority of millennials, if it has been, this whole idea of socialism, that is that you see that as a threat?
That's why I mentioned Venezuela. They're out of power. I mean, right. This started with Hugo Chavez.
Hugo.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Hugo. It was
Hugo.
Anyway, Chavez, and he started it, and they were one of the wealthiest countries in the world. They had a lot of oil reserves, but they were a wealthy country, and now it's gone. Because the
government took over.
Because the government nationalized everything, and when we're talking about socialism, you're talking about the state owning the means of production and distribution.
But it's very appealing to the masses. Now, maybe not to the American masses. I don't know that yet. That remains to be seen. But you take people around. You take people and you tell them through a big microphone, a megaphone, that they're being oppressed because the wealthy 1% of people who control everything. It's time to rise up and do away with these people and these controls. And you need your share. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Covetousness, envy.
Yeah, good old violation of the 10th commandment will work very well right there with people because they go, yeah, I'm tired of being oppressed. And yeah, it's not my, they're not, these people, I need more money. They need to pay their fair share.
Right.
And all this kind of appeal to people's base nature, quite frankly, oftentimes. But that works with a lot of people. Now, it hasn't worked in America. completely. It worked somewhat, but it hasn't worked completely because I think in our country historically has valued the free markets system of the economics.
Well, even the countries that socialists like Bernie Sanders and AOC, they appeal to, like the Scandinavian countries, but those countries are not full-blown socialist countries. They are capitalist countries with a heavy tax base that they use to fund healthcare and all those sorts of things. Those are capitalist countries. There is nowhere that is a purely socialist country that where this has worked, where you have nationalized industries, so on and so forth. And what AOC and others are ignoring is that when you begin to tax in ever higher percentages, she said 90% she wants to tax corporations, you kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we see wealthy people fleeing states like Illinois and New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're fleeing the heavy
California
tax,
too.
California, they're fleeing the heavy tax policies and going somewhere else. This is what I'm saying. You kill the goose that lays the golden egg, but you don't figure that out until you're 5 or 10 years down the road, mm-hmm. and you don't have a tax base anymore. Yeah. And now you can't give the free everything, and then the country begins to implode. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in Venezuela.
The other element of this whole story, I mean, AOC is part of a problem for the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi has lost control of that party to the AOCs. The other one is Congresswoman Omar from Minnesota, has been in the news lately.
Omar.
And she apologized first for an anti-Semitic remark, but didn't again. And her party came up with this fluffy resolution that they voted on late last week that basically condemned everything that's bad out there. We're just going to condemn everything. Never mention her name. Never mention anti-Semitism. But
why do you think that was? Why did they avoid directly confronting the anti-Semitism as it was expressed by this young Muslim woman?
Because she's really, really popular. Well, and they didn't want to offend the Muslims.
Well, now hang on a second. Did it not include a condemnation of anti-Semitism?
It included it.
Okay.
But never mentioned her name.
Right. Among its plethora of other issues that were condemned.
Which aren't statements that have been made by Democratic, by congressmen or congresswomen. All these other phobias and all these other hatreds. But that was the thing, was that we wanted the Democratic Party to condemn anti-Semitism because a Democratic congresswoman was making anti-Semitic comments.
Yes.
They're not making, transphobic
or homophobic.
That's
why I'm wondering, why didn't they just take on that issue specifically and directly? Why did they have to go?
Because it would have insulted Muslims,
by the way, do you have this thing that they passed, this resolution?
Yeah, it was passed. There was only 23 Republicans didn't vote in favor of it.
But I'm saying it condemned anti-Islam.
White supremacy.
Islamophobia. Anti-Semitism.
Yes.
But there was nothing in there condemning anti-Christian bias.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Because they're not worried about, really, Tim, they're not worried about insulting Christians in that party.
They don't consider that. Christianity is a part of the oppressive majority.
Conservative Christianity.
Mm. So that is part of the white, male, straight, Christian, conservative, oppressive majority. And so there's no way they're ever going to sign on to anything that says it's wrong to criticize those five categories. So those are off the table.
I can prove to you, though, I can give you, we have on here, quotes and attacks from Democrats against Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who cares, though, Tim?
And others.
They deserve it.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's they may not come out and say it in such a vulgar fashion, but they believe that those five categories I just named off, okay,
so
white, male, straight,
so it's okay. And there, if you were to ask them, okay, you condemned anti-Semitism, you've condemned Islamophobia. Why wouldn't you condemn anti-Christian bigotry? they would say it doesn't exist, or they would say it's fine to express that because of the reasons you just mentioned.
It's like when someone says, when you say, okay, we all agree that whites can be racist, but blacks can be racist too, right? And you ever hear this? No, they can't be racist because they don't have power. So only whites can be racist because racism is an extension of their power. So blacks cannot be racist. Have you never heard that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, so that's what
they're
saying.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense, but they're working off this cultural Marxist paradigm, which is there are oppressors and oppressed peoples, and we need to stand on...
Okay,
on,
I got you. So a prime example of this, to bar a... back to Nicholas Sandman.
Yes.
The young boy from...
Covington
Christian School. There in, I don't know if it's Christian school, but anyway.
Catholic school.
The Catholic school in Covington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay, but just to play this out. So you have him with this picture, and he's a white face young man with a Make America Great hat on.
Right.
Which is a modern day hood, a KKK hood.
Right.
According to the left.
Because America was never great. According to the left.
Right. And that really means white supremacy.
Right.
According to them. You can't, if you're for Donald Trump and you wear a right hat, you are de facto a white supremacist.
I think it was what her name, Alyssa Milano. She tweeted out afterwards that is the new.
That's the left.
That is the new KKK, the white hood.
Okay. So that's the left's narrative about. So when you take a picture of this young kid.
With other white kids behind him.
And he's standing, the picture shows you him standing what appears to be above the Phillips Indian Native American man. So you get that image, that says it all. That's why they went wild on that picture, because this is the white.
That's their narrative.
This is the white Christian male oppressing the poor minority.
And Indian that's why man. Most of the mainstream media didn't criticize the black Hebrew Israelite group that were saying not only to these white kids, but also to the Native American,
these black Hebrew people were being overtly racist.
Absolutely.
And homophobic.
Nobody, very few people in the media, the mainstream
said anything
media
about
criticized
that.
Them because they're oppressed.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. So, that's why the
leftist narrative here.
That's when I went after the white teenage boy.
Right, because he's part of...
If he wouldn't have had the video, if the video wouldn't have surfaced to exonerate and confirm the story that it was what these black Hebrews men were saying, vile things to these kids who were just waiting on their school bus.
Yeah.
By the way. And you know, it's another element here to me on these kinds of things is that the black Hebrew group, and they're a cult, aren't they?
Yeah, I think basically, it's a cult.
They were grown men,
right?
Okay, and this Nathan Phillips is in this.
Yeah. Nicholas.
Nicholas Sandman.
Oh, sorry.
Nathan Phillips.
Nathan Phillips, the Native American man, he's 64. Okay,
right.
You have these grown men trying to get into it with these 15-year-old teenage boys who are waiting on their bus to pick them up. Mm-hmm. I mean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just that kind of.
If to your point, if that video had never surfaced,
yes,
Nicholas Sandman would have been ruined
for his life.
Because if it's just he said, mm-hmm. it's just his word against his word, everyone's going to believe Phillips, the Indian. They would never believe him. That kid wouldn't have gotten into college. Might not ever gotten a job when someone did a search on Google.
Right. His life would have been ruined.
Over.
And he's already. It's already been slandered.
Right.
And the media doesn't want to retract that narrative because it was so rich.
Yes.
You know.
Played perfectly into their narrative.
As did I'll talk about this more after the break. You're listening to Today's Issues. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.